Coming up, Disney Parks Experiences and Products announced 28,000 layoffs. Disneyland's reopening is still a complete question mark. Restaurant changes at Walt Disney World have made the news, plus so much more. From points around Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged. I am your host, filling in today for Pete Werner. Unfortunately, he had a... It's not an appointment or anything. He is in good health and such right now, but he had an appointment with someone very important who is in town right now, and he could not miss that chance to have that that one-on-one experience. So that's why he's not here. I'm sure he will be happy to be back next week and share a lot of his feelings about some of the terrible news that has been about in the world of Disney this week. But I do have some awesome people joining me right now for this fun little show that has already gotten off to a terrible start. If you're watching the live stream, and if you're watching this later, then hopefully you missed all of the nonsense that we started off with. But joining me today, we have, of course, Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
And also we have Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And finally, we have Jackie Gailey.
Hi, friends.
Hello. Thank you all for being here. And yes, we are going to try to get through this. I think this is only the second time that I've had to try to host and actually run the show at the same time. And it's going to be a doozy. And I just hope we can get through
this. You
got it, Craig.
You can do it.
It's going to be good. We're going to get through this nice and easy because I have nothing to do right now because I'm actually going to throw it over to Denny with the news.
All righty. So here we go. Here's our first news story. And we're going to start off with some sad news. But this really was, like you said, Craig, what dominated the news, the Disney news cycle for the past week for good reason. Disney Parks announces a loss of 28,000 jobs. Last Tuesday night, Josh D'Amaro, chairman of Disney Parks Experiences and Products, issued a statement confirming a reduction in staff to his division that ultimately affects 28,000 cast members. D'Amaro stated, in light of the prolonged impact of COVID-19 on our business, including limited capacity due to physical distancing requirements and the continued uncertainty regarding the duration of the pandemic, exacerbated in California by the state's unwillingness to lift restrictions that would allow Disneyland to reopen, we have made the very difficult decision to begin the process of reducing our workforce at our parks, experiences, and products segment at all levels. Having kept non-working cast members on furlough since April while paying health care benefits, approximately 28,000 domestic employees will be affected, of which are about 67% are part-time. We are talking with impacted employees as well as to the unions on the next steps for union-represented cast members. Over the past several months, we've been forced to make a number of necessary adjustments to our business. And as difficult as this decision is today, we believe that the steps we are taking will enable us to emerge a more effective and efficient operation when we return to normal. Our cast members have always been key to our success, playing a valued and important role in delivering a world-class experience, and we look forward to providing opportunities where we can for them to return. In a report that Disney filed with the state of Florida, we learned that approximately 6,700 of the 28,000 layoffs consists of non-union employees, and these layoffs are set to begin December 4th, 2020. The Orange County Register in California adds that there are an estimated 5,000 cast members at the Disneyland Resort and 411 cast members at Walt Disney Imagineering facing layoffs. The layoffs will also impact Disney Cruise Line crew members.
This was the entire news cycle for a while now. It is still the news cycle, and it is just, it's devastating as a Disney fan to see see this happen in this capacity. And it honestly, it does feel weird to do a show like this where, you know, we're going to have a little fun later talking about other aspects of Disney and try to brighten spirits, but it is awkward having conversations like these when there are so many cast members who over the past week have found out that they are no longer, I don't want to say wanted by Disney, but that's how they feel. I mean, there's no beating around the bush on it. They feel like they've dedicated their lives to making magic for the Walt Disney Company, whether in the parks or a different sector of the business. And now that's just being taken away from them, and some for years. Like I hate having to say that in our Diz family, of course, we all know that Kathy's daughter, Katie, was a cast member, and I want to say it was after 17 years. Unfortunately, she was one of the people given the news that her services were no longer needed. And that's just, it's so hard to hear that. And that's just one of many stories that have been out there. And I just, it makes me sick thinking about it. Like, I just felt my stomach drop down as I was saying that, and had the chills having to say that. So it's hard watching this as a Disney fan. I can't imagine for the cast members who have been affected by it. And I can't imagine how hard it was for someone like Josh D'Amaro, who had to be the, he had to be the one to be out there and say it. And he's been trying to go to Disneyland and talk to the cast members there and listen to them. And he was doing the same in Walt Disney World right now. And, you know, that means a lot, but it's still 28,000 people who are now out of work. And I need someone else to talk.
Yeah.
It's crushing. I feel so bad. Go ahead, Rhino.
No, I was going to say, you know, the perspective on that is I think in a video I might have said, I might have deleted it. I don't remember if I said it or not, but that, you know, when I started working at Disney, they said it takes 65,000 people to make Walt Disney World go. I think it's 75,000 now. So you have to put that into perspective. You know, 28,000 is, that's more than a third of just the Walt Disney World workforce. So, you know, it sounds like, oh, well, there's so many, but like that, a massive, and that's just, you know, that's Disney Parks cast members too. So that's, it's just, it's crazy. I was with a friend when they found out, and I've had a bunch of other friends who have lost their jobs in the process too. And some were Imagineers, and some were just, you know, just doing whatever they wanted to do. Like, and it's just, it's crazy. It's like, it's scary too, because I hate the idea of somebody kind of being like, oh, well, you can just get another job. And it's like what you said. I didn't even realize that Katie had been let go and that she had been there for as long as she had. And that is like, and if you know the Whirlings from watching the show, like, they live and breathe Disney. And it's, so it's just kind of like, you know, what do you do right now? There's still a pandemic going on too. So it's kind of like, it's so, I know that we've talked about some resources that can help people. We talked about cast member pantry and stuff, but I've also seen a lot of people saying that a lot of cast members have started like their own like Etsy stores and some small businesses and stuff like that. And
we're getting there next.
I've been starting. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun on that. So
no, you're good. But you're right. What were you going to say, Jackie?
Oh, I just, you know, it breaks my heart, because over the years I've become friends with so many of the cast mm-hmm. members, and they are living their dream. You know, they grew up going to Disney and visiting the Disney parks, and they love it so much that they wanted to move there and work there. And all of a sudden here we are, and it's just heartbreaking for them. I have all the feels. I just wish I could take away the pain and make it better, but obviously we can't. And so we're going to do everything we can to shine light on what we're about to talk to next.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just don't, I hate the problem is, too, in Central Florida, it's hard enough to get a job. And I know, I'm sure Anaheim has a lot of the same issues. And it's just one of those situations that now we have all these people in Florida who have to try to find a job. We have Universal down the street also that has laid people off in this entire situation. And I don't think it's the end of the layoffs, unfortunately. I think this is the current step that they're on, and if it has to continue forward, it will. And I just don't know how they're going to get out of it, unless this was their one time to like completely cut everything that they could think of to try to make the biggest impact so they don't have to lay off again in the future. But I don't see how it's not possible. They're going to continue to find ways that they can cut. And as Pete has said many times over and over, Disney is still a business, and they want to make sure that they want to make sure that they're loyal to all the stockholders and everyone who invests in the company. But you also look at it from the other perspective of this is killing a lot of brand loyalty, because people have visibly seen, I think outside of the Disney community in general, people have seen what Disney has now done. And, you know, it's still a magical place that people want to go on vacation to. And we still go to the theme parks, obviously, and that's not going to stop. But people are going to see this, and they're going to have that sour taste in their mouth in one way or another. I mean, it could be just as simple as layoffs for Disney with this. Like we saw what happened with SeaWorld and Blackfish. And I know those are two complete different subjects, but when the people outside of the Disney bubble and our little Disney fan community start to pay attention, that's when bigger impacts happen on these companies as a whole. And I just can only imagine how many people are going to start questioning their loyalty, their brand loyalty to Disney down the road. And that's a shame, because we know that while executives and the people who are making the decisions at Disney might not be doing these things that are good for the people who visit or the cast members working, but they're doing it for the stockholders, that's all going, there's other ways around this where we can look directly at the cast members and really focus on the good that they've done, even the ones who aren't able to work anymore. So why don't we start talking about how we in the Disney community and those outside can start giving back to the cast members who have made the magic.
All right. Well, here we go. Our second part of this first news story. The Disney community has been looking for ways to give back to cast members that have dedicated their lives to making the magic for guests. And we want to highlight the ways that you can help. A few weeks back, we highlighted the Cast Member Pantry, a fantastic resource to assist with gathering and distributing donated food items to furloughed cast members needing help by a fellow furloughed cast member from Walt Disney World, Emily Lardigue. Emily has been receiving donations from all over the world and is working on setting up the same benefit in Anaheim to help furloughed and laid off Disneyland cast members. We'll have a link to in the description and in the show notes to more information on the Cast Member Pantry, along with a link to their Amazon wish list and how to donate via Venmo so that you can stay up to date with all of the efforts that are being made currently. And the Cast Member Pantry is just one of the ways that you can help support cast members who have been laid off. Kathy Werling's son started a Facebook group called Disney Cast Members Pay It Forward, where he's encouraging folks to hire cast members for services like carpentry and plumbing and more. The Ear for Each Other Facebook group is full of cast members showcasing their talents and services that they can provide, from baking to landscaping and crafting and beyond. And speaking of crafting, there are tons of small businesses owned by Disney cast members. So an amazing spreadsheet was put together by the Theme Parkettes, a member of Carly Wiesel's Facebook group, with descriptions of what the different businesses offer and links to all of the different small business shops. And a similar spreadsheet was created by Tiffany Mink, breaking down different cast member businesses that offer jewelry and accessories, apparel, art, stickers, other products and crafts and services. Also, we want to give a huge shout out to Sarah and Tom Bricker of Disney Tourist Blog, who've raised over $50,000 for Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida to help take care of the cast members and the Central Florida community. And we'll have links in the show notes and description to all of these amazing resources.
Yep, and those links are already in the description, at least for this video. The show notes don't go out until, you know, the audio shows up and such. So those will be coming later. And for everyone who listens to the show, you'll be able to find those at disunplug.com. But for anyone watching right now, you can already start going through and clicking on all the links if you want to go through those stores. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been spending a lot of time browsing through all of the different stores, seeing what everyone's doing. I got stuck in a loop on the Ear for Each Other Facebook group.
That is such a cool Facebook group.
Yeah. It's literally just filled with cast members and, you know, other people just in the community that are offering their services, like looking at the baked goods that some of these cast members are making, that it's like, it's literally a dream. As if, what if you had no restraints holding you back in your work? If you work for Disney in a culinary role, or even some people are saying like, oh, we're servers, but we bake in our spare time, and they're able to showcase what they do at home. Like, just think if they would be allowed to run wild at Walt Disney World with some of the creations that they're creating. So I really want to encourage people to actually go and look at that page to see what everyone is doing and offering. So I know for a lot of the people like on Kathy's son's Facebook group that are doing odd jobs in and around Central Florida, that might not be a lot of help to anyone unless you're actually here. But for a lot of the other stores and such, chances are you can have something shipped to your house that's really unique, one of a kind, different than what you see before. You can get lost in these wormholes looking through it. So has anyone seen anything that they really enjoyed on any of those pages?
I saw my husband will send me little things that he's found. And so he sends me these amazing little links to baked goods and things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want them all. But there's a screen printed tee out there with the Carousel of Progress, you know, lyrics on it. And I've got my eye on that. Like there's just so, people are so talented. They are, and they've made magic for us for so long in the parks. And it's just a way, it's a new kind of magic that they're making. Of course, they may have been making it for years. We just get to discover that now. And we get to kind of help make a little magic for them. So it's a lot of fun to look at those and go, okay, how can I, Kathy's son's group is called, how can I pay it forward for them? They've done so much for me, for my family over the years. How can I pay it back?
Yeah. And, sorry, Rhino, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I paint and do stuff like that. And I was going to, I'm working on a couple of things that I was thinking about, like, just like throwing up on like eBay and then trying to take whatever money those make and use those toward, some of these, like, spread it around, you know, to send some to, like, whether it's the cast member pantry or stuff like that. I've seen a couple of really interesting things that people are doing with social media to help raise money for people that are out of work and stuff like that. And I've been trying to, like, oh, how can we do this? How could we, as like the Diz, with people who have a voice, you know, in social media and stuff like that, how can we use that and like sort of pay that forward? So I have a couple of things that I'm going to try and do. So I'll post about it wherever I can when I get it finalized, but I'm working on some stuff.
You know, I think it's really cool. I got in the loop last night of the Facebook group that Craig mentioned, and it is just awesome. I probably spent an hour scrolling in there, and there's a Disney Cruise Line executive pastry chef in there who was laid off. And, you know, I mean, these are people that are in positions that are just the dream of a lifetime. And they make beautiful, beautiful sweet treats. And they are willing to deliver them to some of the Disney resorts. And they've got, you know, people are sharing birthday cakes that some of these folks have made. They are magnificent. And so if you are, you know, just looking for that little bit of extra magic when you go down to the parks, you can use some of these cast members and support their small business and, you know, send some love their way. So, yeah, like everybody said, they've made so much magic for us and our families for so many years tirelessly. And now it's our turn to give back to them and show them that we appreciate them and send good vibes into the world and hope that their positions are going to be there, you know, in the future. So
exactly. Yeah, and I think the last thing I want to say before we move on, and if anyone else has anything else to say, feel free to jump in. But I just want to also make sure that if you're coming to the parks or you actively are going because you're a local, just a lot of people have said it on social media, but just remember to be extra kind to the cast members who are working. Since this announcement came out, the layoff announcement came out last Tuesday, I want to say like 3 hours after we finished our live show. And so those cast members were working for a couple days without knowing what would happen. Some of them knowing like through the weekend, not knowing what was going to happen. Meanwhile, their friends were being told that they were being let go. And there was a ton of sadness around there. And that sadness just isn't gone. They're not, just because maybe some of them found out that they're safe and they'll continue working, that doesn't mean that they're happy. They're also feeling the pain of everyone that they are friends with and consider them family members that aren't getting to come back to work now and are stuck in this limbo. So if you're going to the parks, just, you know, give, mm-hmm. you can't smile right now. Make sure you give the eye smile, or just get a, make sure that you can showcase that your smile, go out of your way to say something friendly, give an extra thank you here and there, do whatever you can to make sure that you know how much, to make sure that all the cast members there know how much you appreciate them being there and helping. So it's easy to sometimes get stuck in vacation mode and not pay attention to what's going around. But I think mm-hmm. now more than ever, I think a lot of cast members out there would appreciate the extra kind words shared their way. And so yeah. it's the least that we can do besides, you know, going and spending money and trying to get this whole thing back on track.
Well, and the best part about that, Craig, is that being kind doesn't cost any money. Being mm-hmm. kind is free. Mm-hmm. So, and it's the very best, you know, sometimes the very best things are the free things. And you can tell when someone's smiling with their smiley eyes.
Yeah. So. And maybe we have, our family has it's technically my sister's family, but our family has a favorite cast member in Mouse Gear, and they have visited her. Her name's Aura. They have visited Aura for years and years and years. It is a family tradition that they get a picture with her every single time that they're down. If you have a favorite cast member and you're on social media, give them a shout out in this moment, you know, even if it's, you don't know what their, you know, what their handle is, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can just say, hey, just wanted to put some positivity out there and say that Aura at Mouse Gear makes our vacation every single year, like whatever it is, just to kind of let them know a little bit more about how they're appreciated. But I completely agree with be kind to the cast members. If you get to come down to the park, just look them in the eyes and tell them thank you, because they need it.
So. Excellent. Well, Denny, do you want to take us on to the next fun news stories?
I would absolutely love to, Craig. Here we go. Bob Iger resigns from California's Economic Task Force. Bob Iger, executive chairman of the Walt Disney Company, has resigned from California Governor Gavin Newsom's Economic Task force. Iger's decision came on the heels of news that the leadership for the California Attractions and Parks Association was not fully in favor of the preview they received of the state's proposed guidelines that could govern reopening procedures and standards for the parks. CAPA had this to say regarding the plans. While we are aligned on many of the protocols and health and safety requirements, there are many others that need to be modified if they are to lead to a responsible and reasonable amusement park reopening plan. We asked the governor not to finalize guidance for the amusement parks before engaging the industry in a more earnest manner, listening to park operators' expertise and collaborating with the industry on a plan that will allow for amusement parks to reopen responsibly while still keeping the health and safety of park employees and guests a top priority. Governor Newsom's administration did ultimately decide to delay the reopening regulations, the release of reopening regulations for the state's requirements for their theme parks. California's Health and California's Health and Human Services Director, Dr. Mark Galli, his statement regarding the delay of the regulations for the state's theme parks said, "Given the size and operational complexities of these unique sectors, we are seeking additional input from health, workforce, and business stakeholders to finalize this important framework, all leading with science and safety." While touring an area of California recently devastated by wildfires, Governor Newsom was asked if he felt any pressure to allow the state's theme parks to reopen. And he said, "The answer is, unequivocally, no. We are not putting the health and safety of people visiting the state or recreating in the state at the parks at risk." Forgive me. The guidelines that were close to being released were not made available to the public, but rumors about the guidance from theme park journalist Carly Wiesel indicate that restrictions in those guidelines included requiring advanced ticket sales, 25% park occupancy, face coverings, and admission being limited to people residing within a certain distance of the parks.
Yeah, the big thing with those guidelines that people were really trashing was the having to be in a certain distance away. A lot of the chatter was that even like someone in the San Francisco area would be considered too far away to visit Disneyland. And that's kind of insane because it's not that far away. So we're talking a very small area. And this wasn't Disneyland didn't like what they were doing, and Josh D'Amaro didn't like it, and Bob Iger didn't like it. This was all of the theme parks. Knott's was up against this. Universal was up against this. Six Flags. It was very interesting watching what was happening with that. And it's I see it every day on Twitter. Californians are just so frustrated with what's happening there, especially with Disneyland. I think, you know, a lot of people have asked the question, why isn't Disneyland doing what Knott's is doing and doing food festivals where people can come in and just eat there? Disneyland wants to reopen in full. They don't want to half do it. They have everything set in place that when they're given the opportunity to open, they're going to open. So of course they want that to be fast tracked, and they don't want to just put something in place that will maybe potentially kind of hurt their chances on reopening the way they want to as quickly as they want to. But Californians are just very, very irritated by it, and I totally understand why. I can't say that I'll probably visit Disneyland anytime soon once that park reopens, just because of what is involved in traveling out there. But for those locals who are thirsting to get back in, just really terrible.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine, like, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, and what if it was Walt Disney World and Disney World remaining closed? And there are others out there who think that could, you know, that should be the case. Well, okay. I get that, but that would just, it's such a it's woven into the fabric of Central Florida. So, in such detail, same in Anaheim. So I can't imagine the ripple effects. We're seeing ripple effects company-wide now with the layoffs and everything, but just a lot of the ripple effects I don't think we're going to see for a long time to come.
I also agree with that.
I can't hear.
What?
Oh, sorry. I can see Jackie's mouth moving, but I can't hear her for some reason. Sorry.
I keep muting you guys.
I got you back. Yay, sorry. There we go.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I think it's going to be a little while before we start seeing the end of these ripple effects. And it's really such a tough situation. I see it from both sides, and I feel for everyone because it's just not a good place to be. And I know that even with everything open down at Walt Disney World, just about everything open. I mean, of course, we don't have water parks, but, you know, they're just about everything is open with the exception of that and a few resorts and things. And still so many of those 28,000 cast members are from Walt Disney World being laid off. And so you feel so bad for what's going on at Disneyland. It's worse. And you don't think it could be worse, but it is. It's tough, really tough.
It is tough. And, you know, Disneyland, while we're talking about the layoffs, of course, Disneyland was in that too. And that's their cast members are just, they're still stuck in this limbo as well too. And it's frustrating. It's really frustrating to see this happening. And I was at first, I think maybe 2 months ago, I was actually talking to Carly about California reopening, and she was hinting at me towards October 1st. And I just kept sticking in the ground saying, like, I think maybe 2021, I think January, they're going to push hard for it. But now I am still really hopeful that they open before 2021. I hope it's a 2020 somewhere in November or December, but it just feels like that's still a possibility that it could be 2021. And it's so nuts to think that Disneyland could be closed for 9 months. Oh, and my dog's here to say hi, apparently. But I hope, I really, really hope that the guidelines can be fixed around as quickly as possible, and they can hopefully get on the right track to get these parks open back up. So there's a want for it out there. But anyone else have anything to say?
There sure is.
Anyone? Bueller?
Bueller.
Bueller.
Bueller. Bueller.
That's fine. Denny, why don't we move on to our final news story then?
All right, let's bring it home. Some dining updates at Walt Disney World. On December 16th, Mickey Mouse and some of his pals will be returning to Chef Mickey's at Disney's Contemporary Resort for breakfast. Additionally, some new items that were inspired by their favorite dishes are coming to the menu as well. Mickey's Celebration Pancake will include whipped cream, Celebration Sprinkles, shimmering pixie dust, and hopefully pancakes. The loaded potato cheese casserole will be topped with smoked bacon crumbles and chives, while Goofy's banana bread French toast will combine the unique flavor of banana bread, baked in zesty orange-scented French toast batter, topped with espresso mascarpone cream, toasted bananas, and chocolate crumbles. Those new menu items will be a part of the All You Care to Eat family style feast with traditional breakfast favorites. Currently, servers are bringing platters and dishes of food directly to guests' tables. As for the character experience, it will be different than what we're used to seeing at Chef Mickey's, but we will still be able to see the characters as they parade through the restaurant in their chef's best. Over in Disney's Hollywood Studios, quick service dining locations have seen some changes in operating hours. Ronto Roasters in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, I know, has shifted from being open from 9:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. to only being open from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pizza Rizzo has moved from being open from 11:30 to 6:30, from 11 to 5. And Backlot Express has added an hour and is now open. Instead of being open from 11 to 4, they're open from 11 to 5.
Oh. So they're shifting stuff around a little bit. Yeah. I'm excited about the Chef Mickey's because we went to Chef Mickey's actually on the very first morning that they opened. And it was the cutest thing. The cast members were so incredibly happy to be there. I mean, just ear to ear smiles. And, you know, it was really cool. They were bending over backwards to just make sure coffee was topped off, make sure everything was just perfect because they wanted people to come. And I'm really, really thrilled that they have been working all this time since they reopened in July to get those characters back in there and to do it in a way where, you know, one of the things I love about going to Chef Mickey's is watching all the tiny little kiddos just getting so excited when they see their friends. And I mean, it's the cutest thing in the world to me. I love that. And so I'm excited that they have figured out how to still make that experience even modified. You know, I'm just really looking forward to it. So I can't wait to go again.
Well, and the platters of food that you, because you wrote your review article for your experience at breakfast after they reopened, and the pictures of all the food looked amazing. Yes. So as long as I still get amazing, bountiful food, that's great. And I love that they're bringing those characters back. So yeah. even if it's crazy. A little different and maybe less napkin waving, it's still going to be great.
I think so too.
I would love to go to Chef Mickey's and see after it opens up. I keep looking at Hollywood and Vine at what they're doing with their character experience there in their meal, and I would love to do that as well too. So I'm all for what Disney is trying to do right now with characters. I feel like it's the right blend of giving a taste of that and but not, you know, obviously putting anyone at too much risk in it. But I would, besides just looking at it and be like, oh, that's interesting, I would actually really love to just finally go and do one. I just have to get over the whole idea of eating indoors, which I'm still trying to get to. I've had a couple meals here and there, but sometimes I still, when I have to put a price tag on it, I'm like, it's got to be really worth it for me to want to go in. And I feel like Chef Mickey's maybe could push me over the edge on it, but I don't know. I'll figure that all out. But yeah, Ronto Roasters, that was sad. Pizza Rizzo sad. Yeah. I think the biggest bad news in that was Backlot Express adding an extra hour. But I mean, that's the taste of the people. They would rather have that than Pizza Rizzo. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who agree with that, but.
I always like to take my Ronto wraps to go on a day at Hollywood Studios, and now they've robbed me of it.
Oh, sorry.
How dare they?
It's fine. It's probably healthier this way.
You should make them at home. Do like I do. It's I do my Ronto wrap salad, cabbage slaw based salad, and then I skip the extra pork. I just do a little bit of linguica and then top it off with a little bit of that the sauce that they put on there, and it feels a lot healthier than sitting there eating actual Ronto wraps. So there's still hope for you, Rhino. You can figure it out one day.
Someday.
Heavy sigh. I've never had a Ronto wrap. I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness.
Because I'm like the you know, I don't live close enough. I live close enough to hop in my car and drive down, but I don't live close enough to just kind of swing on by for lunch.
Well, the next time you're down here. Yeah, it is. The next time you're down here, Jackie, you're going to have to put that on your little schedule. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll have to do that.
Unfortunately, Jackie's no longer joining us for the rest of the show now that that announcement that she's never had a Ronto wrap. So,
her feed was mysteriously cut.
We can say goodbye to Jackie right now. I'm kidding. But if we don't have anything else to talk about with the news, then I think we can roll into to housekeeping. Denny, do you want to say that's it for the news? I don't want to rob you of that.
Oh, thank you, Craig. And that's it for the news. Back to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh. So now we are going to move into the housekeeping portion of the show where I want to open it up to everyone for housekeeping. Do you have plugs that you want to make? Is there anything that I didn't include in the news that you would like to talk about? The floor is yours. It's open. Let's go for it.
Oh, wow. I just wanted to mention real quick. So for this past Saturday's Saturday snacks, I got to finally make Epcot's recipe for pao de queijo. And I think I'm saying that right now. And it was just a happy dance in my kitchen. And so if you haven't checked that out, if you've never made the Brazilian cheese bread from the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, and you really, really, really want to try it, the official Disney recipe is up. So you can head over to wdwinfo.com. If you can't find it, just hit in the search bar Saturday snacks and it'll be the first one to pop up for you because we did it just this past Saturday. So if you like bread and cheese and toasty, cheesy goodness, head on over.
Well, I'm also, I want to say and point out here for a second, too, that if anyone in the chat has a topic that you saw that we did not include in our news and it doesn't look like we're going to talk about it, please feel free to jump in there and maybe we will mention something about that. Kind of like last week, how we weren't going to talk about the Disney Society Orchestra, Grand Floridian Orchestra, but you wanted us to talk about it, so we listened. So please, if there's anything you feel like is lacking from the show right now that could increase your viewing or listening experience, we would absolutely love to bring it up. So thank you, Denny. Rhino or Jackie, what do you have in the housekeeping?
Oh, wait. I have some big information from the chat right now.
Wait, this is breaking news.
Myrna Powell has said in the chat that Ronto Wraps are at Docking Bay after Ronto Roasters close for the day. I am back to 3 wraps in a day. I am back. Oh. Okay.
There's light on the horizon for you.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
No.
Very good. And I will research that further as well.
With your stomach.
Yeah, the next time I'm at Hollywood Studios, I will definitely look into that. I will bring up our Patreon, patreon.com/disunplugged. I am going to go through because I'm realizing that Patreon still hasn't really corrected the way that you can search through backlogged items. So people have asked me like a couple questions here and there. And there's basically like we've been doing this for maybe like 4 years almost now, I think. I think it was the end of 2016 we started it. So there's like content that goes way back, but if you search with like a keyword listing, sometimes it's not bringing it all up. So I'm working on some documents that I'll be able to post to some of the new folks that are out there, or maybe you haven't been a member that long, but that way you'll be able to easily kind of access that stuff a little more efficiently. And also, to stay tuned because we got to pick out our next movie club watch on there. And since it is October, I'd like to do some fun spoopy Disney stuff. So we'll see. Just stay tuned to that all on there. So that's it. That was really kind of incoherent, but it's fine.
That's good.
So I have a quick one. I want to tell you guys about a new contributor that we have over on the Diz. His name is Cliff Gagnier. I think I'm saying his name right, his last name right, I hope. But he has written for us a great series called Disney in a Pandemic. And part one and part two have already gone up. The first part is Disney World Worth the Risk went up last week. And it's a really great article that kind of takes a deep dive and asks you some questions about different things that you might experience when you're at Disney and how you are about certain things. And it's just more of a look at how the parks are right now, as opposed to just, you know, hearing things like, you know, I feel safer at Disney than I do at my local grocery store type of a thing. This one is really good. And part two went up yesterday, And part two talks about mitigating personal risk at Disney World. And so he offers a lot of really good tips and suggestions on things that he and his family did when they were at Disney. And he really tackles a lot here. So I encourage you guys to take a peek at that series. You can find it at wdwinfo.com right on the homepage.
So and part three is going to go up this week. So yeah, so get caught up on one and two.
Very good.
Jackie, make sure you send me a link to that. I can include it in the show notes and description of this.
I will do that.
Okay, so one of the topics that the chat has brought up in there, of course, is that we already talked about layoffs. So I don't want to bring us down too much again here, but of course, we didn't really mention Yeehaw Bob in this, who was a perennial favorite over at Port Orleans Riverside. A very, very entertaining performer. He was one of the announced, he made an announcement after the layoffs and such that he was one of the people being let go. And I think it's terribly sad for that resort. It added a life to it that was really positive, really fun. One of the better out of the park entertainment offerings that you could find. Like, I would rather, personally myself, I would rather watch Yeehaw Bob versus going to Jelly Rolls, which Jelly Rolls, I feel like there's a point in all of our lives where Jelly Rolls is a really fun time. And I quickly got out of that time period and no longer had fun with it. But Yeehaw Bob was something that the entire family could enjoy as long as you were around and kids didn't fall asleep before he started his sets. But at the same time, too, the area that he played in is just so small and compact, and people crowded in to see his shows. It just, I hate it, but it didn't seem like there was, for him to come back in his setting and be in that space, I just don't think it's possible in this point in time. And unfortunately, when I do think it's possible, I think by that point, Disney will probably have been kind of with the idea of, okay, well, you know, we will consider it, but probably not. We'll probably look for some different entertainment option. But I think it's definitely a sad loss, another sad entertainment loss for Disney, as we discussed last week with, oh gosh, I don't, who was it last week? Disney
Grand
Society Floridian. Grand Floridian. Sorry, that completely slipped my mind, even though I already mentioned it once this show.
You're doing a great job, Craig. It's okay.
Yes. I mean, we're almost through. We're almost through this.
All good.
Sorry, Craig. I just wanted to say, because you were talking about like the entertainment and stuff like that, because somebody just brought up if all the live entertainment was cut, and it's not though, right? Because the Frozen sing-along reopened.
Yeah. Denny just went to
so
that,
I know,
right?
Some of it's coming back.
Good. Yeah. I got to go to it yesterday. So it reopened. I was at the first show yesterday. So it's for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration in Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I wrote a little article about my experience that's up on the Diz now, but it was, you know, it was everything that you would think it would be during this time. So if you compare it with what we've seen on Disney World property thus far, you've got the physical distancing markers in the queue. You've got those dots in the pre-show lobby area. They open the doors 10 minutes in advance of the show, and you are seated by a cast member. You can't say, you know, you're not free to wander and roam. You are seated. They have lighted sticks and they show you to your seats. There's a bank of seats in between each party, each group. But you are still encouraged to sing, masks on the entire time. And Eric and Aria, the Arendelle historians, actually referred to us wearing our masks, you know, in funny little lighthearted ways, three times during the performance. And we were commended to Elsa that we had done a good job of wearing our masks at the end. So that was a lot of fun. It was just so much fun because literally it was for the first time in forever. And so the audience was there for it and happy and joy filled. And the cast was. It was a really neat kind of moment.
That is, yeah, I think I'm supposed to be in Hollywood Studios tomorrow. So maybe I will. Yay. consider going in there. I've not decided yet. Frozen sing-along was not one of my favorite things before all of this happened anyways. Not it doesn't have anything to do with Frozen. I've made my love of Frozen actually very clear that I think it's an amazing movie. I think the sequel is just as good, and I'm so happy they made it. But I don't like the encouragement of singing in public. I feel like when you're in shows where they want you to sing, it ends up being like church singing, where you just hear like the person next to you doing like the low hum kind of, I'm gonna try to match the tone, but I'm not actually gonna say the words. And it's just, so I don't care for it. Rhino doesn't know what
blog,
I'm talking about, but
you know,
Denny knows.
Denny knows.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, I think we need a vlog of you attending. So that would be a lot of, and singing. I think that'd be great.
I want to plug those too, because Craig has been doing, I know Pete talked about it and Craig's brought it up, but they said in chat, we should bring it up again too, is the live streams that we've been trying to do in the park. And I brought it up in the video I did the other day. Well, never mind. It hasn't been published yet. But anyway, I was just saying that, you know, Craig does these every week in the park and stuff, and I've been trying to do them too. And I think Fiasco has done some as well. But, you know, we're trying to get that to be like a normal thing. I'm going to go to Animal Kingdom again tomorrow and try and do one there. So if Craig's doing one at Hollywood Studios too, Denny and Jackie, you have Epcot of Magic Kingdom.
Love
there
to
go.
Bring it.
Yep.
I'll be there. I can't wait to parks, wear, right? You know, yeah, I want to wear my costume to the Magic Kingdom. I haven't worn it yet. I haven't been in the Magic Kingdom while we can wear costumes. I got to seize the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was there on Saturday and it started raining and I was like, that's why I don't wear costumes, because it poured. I've only been to Magic Kingdom with Kylie twice since July, just because she doesn't like going there too, but both times it has poured on us while we've been there. So I think I have to I have to stop taking my wife to the park, because it ends up bad.
There were so many people in costume there on Friday. Like, yeah. I was surprised. Like, it was a lot. And it was the really creative ones, too. So, but I lucked out. I think that was the day it did not rain. So, like, I got lucky.
For you.
Mm-hmm. Or, no, it started raining when I was, like, leaving. But it wasn't, like, pouring. It was just, like, sprinkling. Yeah. It's whatever.
Okay. The main thing I don't get.
It's been a particularly rainy summer.
What'd you say, Jackie?
Oh, it's just been a particularly rainy summer.
Yeah. It is. Rain in Florida has been over what it normally is. But the one interesting thing I don't understand about Magic Kingdom now, and I'm going to say it and make my peace before we move on, the egg cart roll stand is now back open. Egg roll cart and
spring roll.
Spring roll, thank you. And the line for it was, I want to say it was probably like 15 or 16 groups deep. And I just don't understand that. Like, they're a good snack.
You drop
but
those in the,
if you had those at Chili's, you would be like, they're okay. But then when you have them in Magic Kingdom, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the most magical spring roll in the world. I need to walk over to Cinderella Castle right now and get my photo with it immediately. And it's just okay. Spring rolls.
Is the bushes the first time we did that?
What's that? Oh, I dropped them.
Yeah. Right.
We got the first time we ever had them, you like went, you did exactly what you just said. You went to go take the photo and you dropped them into the bush.
the cast member felt so bad for me because he just watched it all happen too. It was
I left
nightmare.
It in the video too, I think. So if you want to watch it, there is a video of Craig dropping spring rolls into a bush.
One of my prouder moments for sure. I can admit to that. But
I am glad it's reopened, because it was kind of sad passing by it and it was just sitting there with no love and no spring rolls. So yeah. I'm excited to be there. I don't know that I'll be buying a couple of spring rolls because
if you're going to get a snack like that, I think you have to go to Sleepy Hollow and get some sort of waffle. In my opinion, like, spring rolls, great, but get a good waffle snack. But that's just my opinion on it.
I've never had one of those either.
Jackie.
A waffle?
Now, you guys can't see it, but right now we're on a split screen, Brady Bunch style, with the four of us. And I've got to find a way to get Jackie off of here. because this is it's now ridiculous.
I hope you just mean a waffle in Magic Kingdom, and you're not telling us you've never had a waffle. Okay, thank God.
Just a Magic Kingdom. Sorry.
She's
just
never had a waffle. Yeah.
The Nutella with the fruit. How do you say it?
Waffle? A waffle? Yeah.
She looks at the Mickey ones on the cruise line and such, and she picks them up, and then she just goes and throws them away. Like, ugh. Not for me. If I don't have them, no one should have them.
All right, so add that to your list for the next time you're down here, Jackie. You now have to have a Ronto wrap and a waffle at Sleepy Hollow.
Waffle.
A waffle, excuse me.
Okay, we are going to move into our last portion of today's show, the final one, and we're going to talk about an article that was posted to the Diz today. And the article is from our contributor Katrina Koffel, and the article is What Walt Disney World Should Steal from Disneyland. And I'm not going to read her introduction about the article because I think it's pretty straightforward when she asks the question, so what should Walt Disney World steal from Disneyland and Disney California Adventure? So we're going to go through and talk about what she thinks that Walt Disney World should steal from Disneyland, and then we'll add in our own opinions for some of the things that we think that we should steal from Disneyland. And the first one, she put, was a huge rumor for years that it was going to come to Walt Disney World, and that is Cars Land. And there is truly nothing like Cars Land. The absolute perfection in the recreation of Radiator Springs is unmatched, in her opinion. Galaxy's Edge is cool, but the feeling of walking down the street and seeing flows in Luigi's is the best. They have the perfect Disney combination of great rides, great food, and a great overall atmosphere. Radiator Springs Racers is one of the best Disney rides, and while Disney World has added smaller Cars attractions, but nothing compares to California Adventure's Radiator Springs. I think we can agree with a lot of what she said there, but should it be in Walt Disney World?
Well, I don't like, she's right. Galaxy's Edge is cool, but that's not what we should be comparing it to. I think it should be Toy Story Land to Cars Land, because we both have Galaxy's Edge, so we both got it. So it's not like we couldn't not have it. I don't know. I would never replace Galaxy's Edge for anything, but Toy Story Land. I mean, I like Slinky Dog, but if you're saying we could have got Cars Land, I don't even like Cars, but I like Cars Land. But you're telling me that if we could have kept Slinky Dog, but made it like maybe we made it a Pixar Land instead, I would pull that over here and be like, yeah, bring it over. Hollywood Studios always needs more stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Toy Story Land is a personal favorite of mine, but, if we could get Cars Land, like I struggle with this because I know it's okay that we don't have all the same things, because that's just even more why you look forward to going out to California and experiencing these amazing things. Like, we don't have to, you know, we're not a 2-year-old that we have to have everything, but wouldn't it be cool? I mean, just the feeling of walking down that street and the neon comes on and you see the Cadillac range. I think that's what it is in the distance. And it's just amazing, amazing, amazing. So I would, if they were to announce tomorrow that it was coming, I would not be upset. That's for sure.
Same here. Oh my gosh. I only went to Cars Land once and I will never forget it. It is so, so cool. And you are right in that movie. And there were so many things to see. And oh my gosh, I love it. So I would definitely not complain if they added it here. Oh man. And you know, it's one of the ways that my niece and nephew were in town. We went over to Disney's Art of Animation Resort and we visited the Cars section of that resort. And so that was really fun and it was different, but it's, I want Cars Land also.
Yeah. It gives you a little taste of Cars Land when you go walk around the Cars section.
Yeah.
So Rhino, if you had to give up Star Wars Galaxy's Edge here for Cars Land,
no,
you never. No.
That's,
no, never.
Yeah. God,
what no. I was going to say,
sorry.
Too.
The, yeah, no, I hear you.
The problem with Cars Land, now that Galaxy's Edge is a thing, is I don't see a good fit for Cars Land anywhere in Hollywood Studios. And obviously, it doesn't fit necessarily in the Magic Kingdom. It doesn't fit in... It doesn't fit in Epcot or Animal Kingdom. So it has to be Hollywood Studios. Really, the only space that they can work with right now is Echo Lake area. And that would be such a juxtaposition of walking in immediately. And then on your left, you start seeing Radiator Springs. So I feel like Galaxy's Edge kind of took the Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land took the steam out of that possibility of ever existing. I would love for it to, because I love everything that Katrina mentioned and all the stuff we mentioned. I don't see it having a place right now in the parks in the capacity that we have them for. So for that reason, if it can't be done right and make our parks still work out, I don't want it done at all. And that leads us to
we can't lose Echo Lake.
No, you can't lose Gertie. You lose Gertie, you'll lose the park.
Exactly. Yeah, Gertie stays.
Yeah.
Okay. No matter what.
Okay. She's holding it together.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she is. That's the only reason that park hasn't fallen apart yet, because of a dinosaur that sometimes wears a Santa hat and has got stuff in its mouth. So
it's got ice cream in its belly.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one, the Haunted Mansion Holiday Overlay. This one always makes me mad. Why does Disneyland get the Haunted Mansion Holiday, Haunted Mansion Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, and Disney World does not? It seems simple enough. In the fall and winter, Jack Skellington and his friends take over the mansion and create a holiday spook that you'll never forget. It's truly one of the best holiday additions that Disney makes to any of their parks. I'm going to start off this one by saying it is great, except first off, they start it in October, and that doesn't make any sense. It's the Nightmare Before Christmas. It should only be around for the Christmas season. And with that being said, it's not going to just come here for Christmas. It would need to be for a more extended point in time. And it's not worth it. So as much as I love it at Disneyland, and I wish that it was a year-round attraction at Disneyland versus just a seasonal one, I don't need it here at Walt Disney World.
Is it every day from January 1st to December 23rd, the Nightmare Before Christmas? Isn't that all technically before Christmas?
But I'm talking in the seasonal sense. If you're talking about a holiday overlay, you know, it's people want it here in Magic Kingdom in Halloween and Christmas. And it's a Christmas movie to me. So I feel like it should only be around for the Christmas season, or they need to just go completely crazy and make it a year-round Christmas-style attraction.
So I said in my The Best and Worst episode this week about I did a Haunted Mansion attraction there, and I said I do love the Haunted Mansion Holiday. I think it is phenomenal, and it is not. I think just calling it an overlay is even like it just becomes this whole other attraction, and I said that it would be cool if we did something like that, but maybe it wasn't Haunted Mansion, and we should do it with do a Halloween one and make it like Ichabod Crane. And, you know, he's one of Constance's husbands or whatever. The Headless Horseman was her husband, because hello, Headless Horseman. I feel like it ties right in there. Something like that. And I was like, give us our own overlay. Give us an original overlay. But I guess there aren't a ton of spooky properties in Disney that they can really play with, other than trying to make it a Sanderson Sisters Haunted Mansion or something like that, and that will never happen.
Yeah.
They could
I'm okay.
What?
Go ahead.
No.
No, you go. No. I'm okay without it. I haven't seen it, forgive me, but I mean, I've seen Nightmare. I've seen the movie. I've not seen the overlay. I've not, you know, seen what that's like, but I'm not a huge Nightmare Before Christmas fan. I'm sorry. So I know. So I'm okay with just our Haunted Mansion all the time.
Jackie with the waffles and the Ronto wraps. You with the
nightmare. Listen, I'm Nightmare sorry. Is
falling apart so fast.
Nightmare is not for everyone. It's a movie of its time. Like I totally understand when anyone who is, I'd say maybe more than 10 years older than me, if they say they don't like Nightmare, I totally understand that completely. But I feel like. You know, people in the couple grades above me and then my generation and younger have just loved it. And then there was that gap where no one liked it. And then Hot Topic and some of the stores kind of brought it back and made it a big thing again. But I'm not gonna hate anyone for not liking Nightmare Before Christmas. I feel like some people know it more from the actual merchandise, let alone the movie. So
yeah, my kids were, especially our oldest. He was very much into Nightmare Before Christmas growing up, and so I have this extreme love for it now. And so from Halloween through Christmas, Nightmare Before Christmas decorations adorn my house because, you know, I feel like it's a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. And so that theme and the layover at Disneyland makes me swoon. I love it so very, very much. No. And I learned from a talk that I went to with some of the Imagineers that worked on Haunted Mansion that they at the time said it will never be at Walt Disney World because more people from around the world visit Magic Kingdom than they do Disneyland. And so they want the people to see Haunted Mansion the way it was originally designed without any layovers, no matter when they visit. And so made me a little sad because I was like, well, don't say never. I mean, you know, maybe like someday you guys might change your mind, you know, but yeah, we'll see about that.
Now, Rhino, please explain to Jackie why she's wrong when she says it's a Halloween and Christmas movie.
Uh-oh.
Well, it could be because for me, and I feel like you agree, is that the journey that the characters go through is in the spirit of a Christmas movie. So at its heart, it is actually about Christmas. It's a Christmas movie told with a Halloween aesthetic.
Yes.
And that's correct. Yeah. And I also, that is part of it, part of my argument that I've been fighting from a mountain for years now. But the fact is, it takes place starting when Halloween is over. That is, they are singing about how Halloween is now over. This is Halloween, but it's done. Jack returns back from all the staring and stuff. It's over. And then the movie ends right after Christmas. It's not like they do. It's got to start getting ready for next year, but it's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. If we want to call it a Thanksgiving movie again, I have been okay with this. It can be a Thanksgiving Christmas movie, but
I mean, the Easter Bunny makes that cameo.
There you go.
One of my favorite moments.
Bunny.
It's one of the most quoted movie quotes in our house by far and large. But okay, moving on, Indiana Jones Adventure in this case is what she means. You may say surprisingly, but Disneyland has a different Indiana Jones experience than the show in Disney's Hollywood Studios. The Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland is a thrill ride similar to Dinosaur in Animal Kingdom and similar in that it is literally the exact same ride track, but just obviously a different theme, but with fun twists and turns from the classic movies. I was a little skeptical before I rode it for the first time, but after my first trip through Indy's Adventures, I knew I had to do it again and maybe sit on the side away from the snakes. And I have said many times that Indiana Jones Adventure is my favorite attraction at Disneyland, but I think this is going to be my third time now in a row saying I love it at Disneyland. I don't think I want it at Walt Disney World unless, and this is the big unless it actually removes the Indiana Jones Adventure stage like people wanted for years and years and years and years. If it could get rid of that theater and be put on that ground, even though thematically, once again, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, I would be okay with it. But other than that, like, I don't want Indiana Jones and Animal Kingdom, like those rumors were surrounded for so long. I don't want it there. It has to be replace an Indiana Jones for an Indiana Jones.
It has to go into Hollywood Studios because it is by definite. It's an adventure film. It's based on adventure serials from the, you know, from the 40s or whatever. And it's one of those things where it feels and fits like that's the Hollywood Studios is about going on adventures, right? Like your Galaxy's Edge, whether it's like a scary adventure with the Tower of Terror or I feel like I'm now like already seeing the holes in my theory about adventure, but I feel like that putting that in that park could really help define the story of Hollywood Studios that much better too, by saying like, this is where, you know, movie adventures happen or something like that. But it does not belong in Animal Kingdom just because there's a big dirt pile in Animal Kingdom and kids digging it. And they're like, you know what? That's a great idea.
And you wouldn't want to give up your beloved dinosaur, right?
No, I would never, never.
Okay.
Was there a hesitation in that? No, no, there was
not. Not an ounce. I had a lot of fun just kind of picturing in my mind, okay, how is this going to be different before we actually went out to Disneyland? How is this going to be different from Dinosaur? Like, I know it's the same ride track, the whole nine yards. And then to finally get to go out there and experience it, that was a lot of fun. I am okay with it being out in Disneyland. I'm okay with things being different, like I said, and having something to really look forward to. And that queue background loop is one of that, and the Jungle Cruise are two, and Tower of Terror are three of my favorite ones to work by. So, and that helped me just kind of get familiar with the attraction before even going out to Disneyland. So I'm okay with it being out there and not here.
Yeah.
Good.
I like the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I get homesick for Disneyland every so often, really bad, and I miss it. Toontown is one of my favorites, so, but, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm going to lump the last two together because I feel like it all fits in the entertainment, but Katrina says parades because she's jealous of Disneyland's parades. It's saying that is an understatement. Green with envy that Disneyland has all these parades, whether it's Magic Happens or when they do have Paint the Night. And then Walt Disney World, well, we all know what we have, especially in the department of nighttime parades, something that Walt Disney World fans love to reflect on, our amazing nighttime parade that,
yes,
even if, you know, right now park hours aren't really meant for nighttime, but even if we did, we have the best nighttime parade you could possibly have. And then also in that same realm, of course, she says World of Color. How unfair is it that two of her all-time favorite park shows are all the way across the country? World of Color, how doesn't it make you tear up? If it doesn't, you're 100% lying. Stunning and heartwarming. Walt Disney World has enough space, they could figure it out. Something with World of Color, and she can live happily ever after. You know, I feel like with Harmonious, I feel like a lot of that is going to have a lot of that same feeling and energy, and plus some different aspects to it. Because let's be real, World of Color, while the fountains are amazing, it's just the next step in progression from Fantasmic with water screens. And so I feel like at the core of a lot of these nighttime shows that are water-based, they all have a similar feel. It's just ultimately, is the story good enough? And with World of Color, I've seen both of the Winter Dreams that they've done. I've seen the main original show. We've seen the Halloween one that they only showed at the Oogie Boogie Bash, and the one they showed for the 60th anniversary. I think that's all the different versions of the show. And I would say the holiday show and the original show are good, in the 60th anniversary show and the Halloween show were not that good. The Halloween show was just flat out awful. So sometimes technology can still make not so great shows. And World of Color, even the regular one, it's a long show. It's 26 minutes that you're just standing there watching fountains. And it's usually always around like the 10 minute mark that you start seeing people get restless over it. So I agree with the parades. I would love a good parade, the more Disneyland style parade, make its way out to here.
Yes, please.
But World of Color, I don't think I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love, the problem is that's always kind of the running joke, right? If they bring Paint the Night over here, we'll ruin it because we somehow ruined all these parades. Like, and I think part of it is like, you know, the weather being so different. Like, yeah, it's sunny and warm here, but that humidity and when it's downpouring all the time and everything like that. But I think that's where I'd like to see like an amazing nighttime parade, like Paint the Night, I think could do well, because it doesn't rain at night too often. I feel like, you know, every now and then, but much less than during the day. And like, I love how, like, I don't even like parades, but I love how into the parade you can get. Not the Pixar one, I didn't like that one. But that parade came from here. But the What's the one with the drummers? Oh my God, it's the name is slipping my mind. Soundsational. I love Soundsational and I love Paint the Night. And like I said, I'm not a parade person, but you can feel how excited everybody gets. And like, it's so cool. And it just kind of brings everything together. And it's not, it doesn't feel as like, sometimes here, I feel like a parade can be an obligation. So I would love to have a parade where we can all get so excited and like, you know, be the type of people who was like, hey, Friday night at 5 o'clock, should we go stake out our spot for Paint the Night? You know?
Yeah, when we were at Disneyland in 2018, World of Color was down for refurb, so we didn't get to see World of Color, but we did do the Carthay Circle dinner package, that Paint the Night dinner package. And so after having dinner at Carthay Circle, we got to go out and sit in director's chairs along the curb for Paint the Night. And when that Mack float turned that corner, I remember it. I could not believe it. I felt like I was 8 years old. And there's this ginormous Mack from Cars. That's insane. And he just rolled right down the street. I would love beyond love if Paint the Night. Now, I understand word on the street is that they'd have to redo the Mack float to get him through the Magic Kingdom. That would be an
issue. I said put it in Hollywood Studios.
So, well, there you go. That
oh, yes.
That would be perfect. Mm-hmm. I would love that. Love that.
Yes, please. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where's the suggestion box?
I feel like Mac would have a hard time on the parade route right now, ahead. Though, because it comes out right beside the guest services, yeah. And it would have to make that hard left turn. That'd be quite
ride
a turn.
The curb. Mount the curb. Fine.
And in other news, no, I'm not going there with that. But okay, what do we want our opinions now? I asked each of you to throw something out. What do you want Disneyland that's Disneyland exclusive to come over here? What do you want? What do you want?
Do we only get to pick one?
And you can do two. Be quick about it.
Well,
go ahead, Rhino.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, I mean, I know the joke before we started this was Guardians of the Galaxy, but I love Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is my favorite thing to do at Disneyland, really. But I was thinking more so because I wouldn't sacrifice the Tower of Terror here for people that love it so much. For me, I'm like either way on it, but I love the aesthetic, and it fits where it is in our parks, it fits correctly. But I would love to see the Marvel area like come over here, even though we haven't seen it in person yet. But I feel like I really love all the kind of like meet and greets and stuff that they do over there. Like I still think about my Black Panther meet and greet that I love so much because they had the Dora Milaje outside, and then T'Challa was inside when he first came out. He used to meet with like Black Widow and you know, it changed or whatever. But I know that we have that weird situation because of Universal, but I would just love to kind of see what we could do with some of that stuff that they have over there in their California Adventure Park, because I love that little area.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good grief. That'd be cool if Avengers Campus came.
Yes.
Ah, that'd be amazing. Yes, for full transparency, Craig said that only one, either Rhino or I, could mention Guardians. as ours, because we both love it. So yes, Guardian, I would love that. But for me, it's not even anything that has to do with the parks. I would love the Disneyland Hotel. That resort is unbelievable. Walking into that place, just the heritage and the history of it, and walking in the first time, I was in awe, and then getting to stay there, like the themed towers, the coffee house with their special themed donuts, Steakhouse 55, breakfast or dinner, it doesn't matter. It's amazing. The monorail slide pool, the whole nine yards. And then, of course, you've got Trader Sam's there in the middle. So how cool would it be if they picked up the Disneyland Hotel and just dropped it here at Walt Disney World somewhere? I would be so down with that.
That was going to be, if I mentioned two, that was going to be one of them. But I think I've talked about it on shows before. I don't necessarily want the Disneyland Hotel here because it makes more sense for Disneyland. But borrow the same idea with it and take take that, you know, how it has the different towers, adventure, frontier, fantasy, take those and be able to like kind of follow it with the same thematic purposes throughout, and the artwork and decor everywhere. And my unpopular opinion probably with this is I think they already have a perfect hotel for it, and that's the Contemporary. And it, right now with the Contemporary, it could stand to use a complete renovation like that. Let's change up the feel of that hotel completely. Leave the Mary Blair Grand Concourse murals there, because that is a part of Walt Disney World's history. So that needs to stay. But, and after that, beyond that, let's make Contemporary. Let's make that the Disneyland style hotel. Make it the Walt Disney World Hotel, Contemporary's Walt Disney World Hotel, whatever you want to call it, and start adding those thematic touches everywhere. Make California Grill the equivalent of Steakhouse 55, which it already kind of is. They have Goofy's Kitchen. We have Chef Mickey's in there. It all starts fitting together. The Contemporary pool really needs some help. It would be awesome to see a monorail pole, especially when the monorail's going through the hotel that's right directly behind you. I feel like there's so many opportunities to make the Contemporary that same hotel. And rather than, you know, when the rumors were it was going to be Incredibles, the heck with that. Why do you need the Incredibles in there? Make it about Walt Disney World. That's where we're going to. That's what we love. But
yeah, that's just
true.
Me.
Very true.
I love all of that. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jackie? What do you want to bring?
So we had just started visiting Walt Disney World when they took away Mickey and Minnie's houses. And I was so just crushed by that. And because Mickey's Toontown is one of my favorite places in Disneyland. I just love it. It is so much fun. It is so cute. It's like you're in a cartoon. And my kids were so super goofy in there. They would like bend themselves into a pretzel on, you know, some of the cars that are made like funky. And it was just so fun to walk through the houses. And I just feel like this is about the big cheese here too. We need to have their houses. I would really like them to put Toontown in someplace. And I feel like Hollywood Studios would probably be the place, but I don't know. I don't know if they could.
The circus evicted them. When the circus rolled in, they said, you know what? Mickey doesn't need a house. Minnie doesn't need a house. None of them needs house. Beat it, Bozo. That's what they said. Rhino, what'd they say?
It all started with a mouse.
They said, beat it, Bozo. What?
It's not fair. It's not fair. Yeah. And I also want New Orleans Square, but I sort of don't want New Orleans Square because New Orleans Square is so special. I just feel like that was Walt's place. That was his, you know, that was his place where he entertained his people. And I love New Orleans Square. And I don't know if, even if we had it here, I don't know if it would feel the same. So,
well, I'll finish up with me before we say goodbye here, but I would absolutely 100% love if we could take one thing from Disneyland and put it here in Walt Disney World. I would love for them to finally get all of the characters, the Disney characters that they have in Disneyland's It's a Small World, and put them in ours, because I am getting so bored with our It's a Small World. It is just, it's a classic attraction that people love doing. And ours feels like it doesn't have the life compared to what Disneyland has, or even Disneyland Paris's when I was there. I feel like something needs to be done to ours to really give it an oomph and make it more interesting and better. And I think adding the characters absolutely could do that. And I know it's a simple change, a simple little addition, but I think it's enough to really reinvigorate that attraction and make it something even better than it already is for people who are fans of it. So
lucky Kevin's not on the show.
Yeah.
No, that's That's why I chose this specifically.
Blasphemy on you. Yeah.
I chose specifically that one because now I never have to bring it up again. But
nope.
Well, this was fun, y'all. Thank you so much for sticking with me this long. We went over, but we also started late and we had to restart a show. One of the first and only times I think we've had to do that. So I feel like we had to make it a little extra special. And of course, as always, you know, when the dads are away, the kids can play. I hate myself now, but
you did a good job, Craig.
I'm so disappointed in myself, but thank you so much for the fun conversation after some of the harsh conversation there that we had to have at the beginning. And I hope everyone out there is having a good week. I hope you continue having a good week. Send in everyone out there, cast members, the entire world, our positive thoughts, saying thank you for being here with us and enjoying some time together. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged. We truly appreciate it, and we will see you again next week with another episode. And until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay healthy, and stay sane. And I don't have a catchphrase, so I'm just going to end this. Bye.